Good morning. My name's Bronwyn, if we haven't met. I have the privilege of reading this morning's Bible reading from Hebrews 7, and it's all of the chapter. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi, who become priests, to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their fellow Israelites, even though they are also a descendant from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descendant from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. If perfection could have been attended through the Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about the priests. And what we have said is even more clear. If another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it is weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weaknesses, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mahawi. I'm the next generation pastor here at Southern Cross, but this morning it's my pleasure to bring us a meditation on Hebrews 7. I'd like to pray before we get into that, so join me in praying. Dear God, I ask that you would invite us and help us to see Jesus, this powerful person whose life can never be undone and whose care for his people never runs out. Would you help us see him this morning? In his name I pray. Amen. Well, some of you would know I grew up in Eritrea till my teenage years. In particular, the Eritrean Orthodox Christian culture. In that culture, every family had a priest we call Soul Father. That's literally translated, perhaps better to translate it as a soul priest. So this priest would be one among the priests in the village. From among those priests, families would have just one priest who would look after their spiritual need. He was the one you call at 3 a.m. when your child is burning with a high fever. That was me one time. He's the priest you call in a panic when your daughter is almost non-responsive after hours of agonizing child labor. I remember my mom calling for our family soul priest in that context. My sister had been at it on labor for hours and losing blood, just got exhausted, and mom called him in a panic. So this soul priest, he would come, he would pray, he would anoint the person with holy water, and he would help people look to God in difficult times like that. Often he brought calm to the chaos. I know your experience of priests is different from mine. For some of you, a priest is completely a stranger. For others, the word priest brings a shrug, meh. And for some of you, it brings a sharp pain because you've been failed, or even worse, abused by a priest. And I think that's just a universal heartache in every human priesthood. Priests are fragile. Priests are, they fail. They retire and eventually they die. They are destructible. Perhaps you've experienced something like that with mentors or parents or heroes you've looked up to. You found that they couldn't carry the weight of your deepest needs. They couldn't sustain the care for the deepest part of you, your soul. They are destructible. As Matt said earlier, we're back in our holiday series, Jesus is Greater, from the book of Hebrews, where we've been discovering that whatever system or hero we've been leaning on, Jesus stands taller and better. Hebrews 7, that Brenwyn just read for us, presents a different kind of priest. Human priests are a shadow of a need. Jesus is the substance. Now, I have a bit of a challenge for all of us, but maybe particularly for the children, for the kids. As you're drawing, as you're coloring in, doing your little activities, I want to ask you a question regularly throughout the talk. And the question is, what is the job of a priest? And I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, the job of a priest is to get people to God. What is the job of a priest? To get people to God. I might ask you that later. So the book of Hebrews is written to encourage disciples who have been wavering in their faith because life has been hard. They've been rejected for their faith. They've suffered certain things. So the author writes this book to remind them that sticking it out with Jesus is worth it because of who he is. The book reminds us again and again that when life is hard, Jesus is better than anything that we could leave behind or that we can lean on. Jesus is better than anything else that there might be out there. So chapter 7 presents us with Jesus' priesthood that is superior because of his indestructible life. Jesus' priesthood is superior because of his indestructible life. So we'll unpack the talk in 2 points. The first point in verses 1 to 10. It shows us that Jesus belongs to a priesthood that is completely outranks every human tradition, every religious rule, and every family tree. Imagine you're staying at a hotel where the staff rotates every 6, 7, 8 hours or so. Just as you're starting to trust a staff member with your needs, with the problems that you have perhaps, their shift ends. And a stranger takes their place. You are constantly reintroducing yourself and your problem and your need to a new staff, the people who don't know you, the people who don't know your history. Well, the old priesthood was a rotating shift of dying men. But Jesus is like the owner of a house who never leaves. He doesn't have a shift or a time limit or a term limit. He ranks higher, he's in a higher order because he's permanent. He's always there. So the author takes us back to a mysterious figure and an encounter in Genesis 14, the first book in the Bible, between Abraham and a man named Melchizedek. So in the Old Testament, to be a priest, your DNA was your resume. You needed to be a son of Levi. You needed to come from that particular line of family. But we meet this figure, Melchizedek, who is different. He has no start or finish to his life in the biblical record. He's both a priest and a king. He receives a gift from Abraham and it blesses Abraham. And that, the author in Hebrews says, proves that he's superior to Abraham and therefore superior to the priesthood of Levi. And that sets the stage for Psalm 110, verse 4, where we read that God giving an oath, God swearing an oath, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And as the rest of the Bible and New Testament rolls it out, that oath, that promise was to Jesus. You, Jesus, are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron, which is where the priest family is meant to come from. So Melchizedek is a type, if you like, a sketch. It seems that God left his beginning and end of his life out of the biblical record so that he would look like a living silhouette of Jesus. So Melchizedek is the sketch. Jesus is the masterpiece. And the masterpiece that is Jesus' life and priesthood literally never ends. No beginning, no end, always there. So Jesus is a priest who achieves this ancient superior order of Melchizedek. So these verses 1 to 10, says that no human pedigree or status can bridge the gap to God. You and I need a priest whose rank is absolute and whose term is eternal. Then he moves on from this rank, this order, to the power of indestructible life in verses 11 to 28. But first, what is the job of a priest again? Shout it out if you can. What is the job of the priest? To get you to God. Yes, I think I heard that. The job of a priest is to get you to God. Well, in verses 11 to 10, the author moves from rank to indestructible life. The old system had a use-by date because the priest had a death date. They kept dying out. But Jesus' priesthood is superior because it is powered by an indestructible life. Indestructible life. So imagine a piece of wood and a diamond that you could chuck in a powerful acid mix. The wood will eventually dissolve and vanish. This was the old priesthood. These priests were destructible. They die, they fail, eventually their voice is silenced. But the diamond in the acid mix will be untouched by the acid. Jesus is that diamond. You can throw the full weight of the world's sin, the full power of death at him, and he emerges victorious on the other end. His life is of a different substance that is unbreakable. And that life is what powers his priesthood. That life is what powers his priesthood. Verse 16 is key in this entire chapter. Jesus became priest by the power of indestructible life. His life cannot be dissolved or broken. A Greek scholar, a Christian scholar, says that the Greek word used literally means incapable of being dissolved. Incapable of being dissolved to describe Jesus' life. The old Levitical order, there were many priests because they kept dying. That was a sign of weakness. Jesus is a priest who continues forever, the sign of perfection. He's a living priest. Jesus has the power to actually save us completely because his power comes from his indestructible life. Death could not hold him down. Because he rose, he always lives to intercede. Jesus' priesthood is normal or natural to who he is as the Son of God. The contrast is to human priests who are made priests through their natural family connection. And ourselves and many people in history try to find a different ways or new ways to God. But in verse 19, there's a technical word that's used for this access, for this way to God. To draw near is how the NIV translates it. It's a technical term that was entirely for priestly access. But in Jesus, every disciple, everyone who trusts Jesus has access to God. And not only just once a year, but forever. Because he always lives to intercede for us. The indestructible life of Jesus brings us permanently to God. Verse 22 says that God's promise through Jesus' indestructible life is the guarantee. It's guaranteed because his life is indestructible, whereas human priests, they die, they retire, they fail. Jesus' priesthood is superior because he's the only person in the universe whose capacity to care for you is utterly indestructible. Cancer cannot touch him. Our repeated failures and weakness and sins cannot exhaust him. Think of a doctor. A doctor isn't repelled by a patient's sickness, hopefully. The very reason he exists is that people need his help, a doctor's, his or her help. If you are healthy, you don't need a doctor. And what is the job of a priest again? To get people to God. And Jesus gets us to God, and he keeps us there because he always lives to make sure that we stay with God. In verse 25, Jesus, the way it's described there is that he saves completely. I really love how another translation puts it. He saves to the uttermost. He saves to the uttermost. Jesus is powerful to save completely. So this refers both to time and quality. Jesus saves forever because he intercedes for us forever. But he also saves totally from the worst of sins. And check out the awesome reason he's able to do this in the second half of verse 25. Because he lives to intercede for them, it says. That word intercede simply means to speak and act on behalf of someone else. There is no need for human priests. There is no need for modern day priest or repeated sacrifices. Jesus, his priesthood, is better because he lives forever. And he's the one, he's done the one and effective sacrifice for us. You see that in verse 26. Jesus sacrificed once for all of our sins when he offered himself. His powerful and indestructible life for our sins. in her book, Extravagant Grace, Barbara DeGewitt, I think that's how you say her surname, she shares a profound insight. She says that often God allows us to struggle with the same destructible sins over and over again to rescue us from the illusion that we can be self-reliant, that we can do things ourselves. We think we need a priest who will give us a to-do list so we can go ahead then fix ourselves. She says it's the opposite is true. We wouldn't need a priest in that case if all we need is a to-do list. Because Jesus is an indestructible priest, his grace is not a depleting source or resource. John Owen puts it beautifully when he's thinking about that. How does Jesus intercede for us now? He saves us on the cross, but what is he doing now? What does it mean that he's interceding for us? And he quickly tells us not to think of him begging, literally begging the Father to forgive our sins or to act on our behalf. No, he says, his intercession is his very presence in heaven. Jesus' intercession is the continuous, glorious presentation of his resurrected body and his very finished sacrifice before our God. His presence at the right hand of God, which Psalm 110 also refers to, that is the ongoing, unstoppable proof for our forgiveness of sins and ongoing intercession for us. He's the lamb that was slain, which we meet in the last book of the Bible. Jesus' actual presence in heaven before God is the intercession for those who come to God through him. I don't know if you do this, but I naturally think and feel that sin repels Jesus from me, that my sin drives Jesus away from me. I often try to measure my standing with God by the quality of my repentance. As I assess myself by how much sorrow I feel for the thing that I've sinned or failed, how concrete have been my actions in order to feel like I've repented right? Only then do I feel like God is okay with me again, because I've done this right repenting, concrete action in my repentance. I think the opposite is true. Jesus is like that doctor to sick patients. Thomas Goodwin, which is an author from many moons ago, says that our misery is the very magnet for God's mercy. The very magnet for God's mercy. He says that Jesus is more glad of us than we can be of him. Imagine that. He's more glad of us than we can be of him. If you knew his heart, if you knew the heart of Jesus, you would come in unto him, he says. If you knew this indestructible priest, you would come to him. While we are failing, Jesus is praying. The indestructible life is praying for you and me. This life and this person that is Jesus is what keeps us from falling. And that's why I had us read at the beginning from Jude, where Jude ends his letter to Christians who are struggling because they've got people among them that are saying all kinds of things and they've been destabilized and they don't know what is true anymore. And Jude ends his letter by saying, he will keep you. He will keep you from falling. He will keep you from falling. It's not just that he saves us when we die. He saves us every single second by representing us before God. He's always on duty. I think that's just beautiful. He's always on duty. If you feel you have to re-earn God's love every time you sin, every time you fail, every time you just don't do the things you ought to do, well, you're treating Jesus like a destructible priest, weak and useless. But verse 28 says that Jesus is perfected forever. In the midst of our fragile lives, failing lives at times, there stands a priest who cannot be undone or unmade by anything. His priesthood is superior because his life is indestructible. He is in the indestructible priest. That's what Melchizedek foreshadowed. That's what is promised in Psalm 110, verse 4. And it's proven by his resurrection from the dead. Think back to that sole priest in my village. As helpful as he was bound by time, weakness, and failure. He couldn't always be there at 3 a.m. And eventually, he died. His voice went silent. Do you remember what the job of the priest is? To get people to God. You're not a very interactive lot, are you? What indestructible things are you leaning on today that you need to trade for the confidence of the indestructible priest? In Jesus, we have the ultimate sole priest. We belong to the one who is indestructible so that our confidence is as indestructible as his life. Completely dependent on him. He's the indestructible priest who stays when others leave. He is the indestructible priest who intercedes when we fall and sin as Christians. He is the indestructible priest whose life cannot be unmade. It cannot be dissolved by any harm or power. Would you pray with me? Father God, help us all to see that your mercy is like a magnet for our struggles, and give us rest in the gift of life that is your Son, Jesus, that very life you offer us in him. Help us now for a minute or so to individually take a moment to reflect quietly in our hearts about us and about our relationship with Jesus. Please help us as we reflect for a minute or so.